T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
January 5th, 2017.
I've closed out the number of these shows with Dan saying, everybody have a great night and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Well, I won't be talking to you tomorrow. I won't be talking to you again until the day arrives when you can look at a Barnes & Noble somewhere or online and see a book.
This is 1,000 monkeys working at 1,000 typewriters. Soon, they'll have written the greatest novel known to man. Let's see. It was the best of times. It was the blurst of times, you stupid monkey!
September 12th, 2017.
We also have an announcement to make.
It is here! The score of a lifetime, 25 years talking Chicago sports, Terry Bors' book,
yes,
is available for pre-order.
He always said, it'll be on the book. We're working on a book.
And,
we always, for like a decade, we're like, there's no damn book coming out. Shut your silly ass up.
Because that book will come. I will get that book done.
Got a big stack of papers there. Got a nice little story you're working on there, maybe a big novel you've been working on for 3 years, huh? Got a compelling protagonist, huh? Got an obstacle for him to overcome, huh?
Yeah, I look forward to reading it.
It is also specially designed to be placed on your head during tornadoes.
Today, 670 The Score is proud to celebrate the release of Terry Bors' new book, The Score of a Lifetime, 25 years talking Chicago sports.
So from the bottom of my heart, I say to everybody here and everybody listening, thanks for the memories.
And now, live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage, please welcome your hosts, Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff, with special guest Terry Bors.
Welcome as we broadcast live from the Craftsman Mobile Studios. Sears, your first destination for Craftsman tools. The Score of a Lifetime book signing tour is brought to you by David Hochberg and the team Hochberg Mortgage Experts at Pearl Mortgage. Visit perldavid.com. And by our friends at Miller Lite Hold True.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you guys doing?
Tay Mo. So what's going on, buddy?
The response to this has just been phenomenal. I mean, from the moment it became available online, I know the sales numbers have just been through the roof, and the publisher is all excited.
Number one in sports essays, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
I've never said anything in 25 years. Yeah,
that was just because you were in Pilsen, by the way. But go ahead.
I know the response of guys like this and so forth have been really special for me personally over the years, but I didn't dream this. I mean, we just started. It's actually just available in stores today, but the Amazon pre-order was sensational. So I can't be any more specific than that because there are laws against it.
But I know that you didn't necessarily write it to sell it. You wrote it for yourself, and you wrote it for the process of it, so it's all gravy at this point.
My grandkids, yeah. I mean, I think that, they're always curious enough. Just because they know I'm an old sick old bastard, I mean, they know that. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't take long to get a drive with me for 5 minutes and you know there's something wrong with me. So they've always been curious about what is wrong with him. So I told Ty, I said, you know what, I'm going to show you what's wrong with me. I will get put together this book, and I'll show you what's wrong with me, and you will be surprised. And he's read it, and he knows now.
Did the editors push back at all on the profanity, or were they accepting it? Like, this is the way he sounds, this is you, this is real.
They wanted to make it like I was sitting next to you on a bar stool, which is exactly what I would do,
oh,
as
was.
You know. Yeah, I think there's a... it's not for the tykes. I mean, it's not for them, but... I think it was done with that in mind, that I wanted to make it sound like I was sitting next to you talking to you. So when I think most people say I've accomplished it that have read it. I don't know if that makes sense to everybody, but I didn't. You know, I think we get enough stuff in life that's heavy and awful and terrible, and seemingly each day something else is wrong. So I think that this was meant to be quite the opposite, just have a good time with it.
Now, when we hear artists talk about track listing, it always, like the sequential order of how you want something to sound, I'm always interested in. The chapters, how did that, the order come about for you? Which ones did you write first? Which ones did you think about first? Is it in the order of how you wrote it?
I did it. Yeah, we did, it's basically in order. I wanted to make every other chapter me, and then the other chapter the station. Well, I mean, I did that, and then they didn't. They wanted to change it around, so we changed it around. Mm-hmm. And I mean, everybody has a little bit of everything. You know, you make this sort of commitment to it, and you never have a day where you don't write. So you always sit down with a plan, which I did, and it was very simple, really. I mean, the only thing about it is, and Steve Rosenblum and I talked about this because we just talked to each other. That, and he pointed out to me that all the Jews like me. Is that true?
Not all.
Is
of
it?
Them.
Not all of them, right?
The mid-level ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, Phil Rosenthal and guys like that. But I find I took great advice that
yeah, I'll check at the next international banking
well,
conspiracy
I'll see.
Meeting.
I'll see this weekend.
I'll do a roll call. I'll see this weekend. You can ask the rabbi.
Isn't there a jeweler convention or something going on
yes.
as well?
Yeah, I'm going to talk to the rabbi. That's what I'm going to do.
Socialist pornographers.
Because the rabbi wants
members
of. I know he wants some private time with me. So that was the idea that I would talk about me and then talk about the station, then kind of alternate between the two. And the only problem with that is, as I started to say, was that I get tired of me. There's a point where you get tired of me. And somebody suggested you go back and do this. I said, no, I don't. Because by the time you edit it for the fifth time or sixth mm-hmm. time, and then it comes back to you again and you got to edit it again, I just was tired of me. I couldn't do it anymore.
Even looking at that prom picture, which is worth, if I don't know what the book costs, but whatever it costs. That picture is worth whatever you pay to have that picture in your life because that is just outstanding.
And I mentioned my favorite, with you standing next to the 69 Charger all swagged out. Like, ladies and gentlemen, this is what opulence looks like on a different level. And this was Steger, right?
Oh, that's Chicago Heights. That's her
house.
Oh,
Chicago Heights. My bad.
I was always pictured when I was there just to make sure nothing was missing.
Yeah, they took a before and after picture.
I always took my picture to make sure. Like, let me check you before you leave, too. That was Chicago Heights. That was her place. Because I would park the car there. We would go to the track. I would leave the car in front of her house.
And I would come there.
Yeah. Well, her mother didn't like me. And you know, but, which is fine. I understand now that mothers shouldn't like you. That's part of their deal. They don't like you. So I would leave in the house, and we'd get back about midnight, 12:30 or so from Sportsman's Park, an old Sportsman's Park. They weren't racing cars. They were actually racing horses. And I'd sit out there and rev it. I'd go like I was on the strip, like I was teeing it up to let's go. I'm gonna hit the crap out of this. And just to disturb her mother, well, after all this time of doing it, I found out about 30 years later, she slept in the back. She never heard a sound of it. You know, what a joke. I mean, an eternal stoop.
Classic.
I mean, seriously, but that's what I would do. I mean, just stuff to irritate her.
You know, the truth is that I actually had heard most of the anecdotes in some way, shape, or form over two decades. It just, a lot of that stuff came out on the air or off the air, except for the seriousness with which you took cars and drag racing. I knew you did it. I didn't know how important it was to you and what the car meant, what that was as an extension of you and what that whole scene was like. And it was like
hillbillies.
Like, but no, there's an American graffiti thing going on that you mentioned, that kind of thing of people driving to drive or being in cars because your car represented something.
Yeah.
And to the point where you were going to sketchy, like, mob-affiliated garages to get
went
all
to a garage
the add-ons
at 11:30 at night.
That's the best.
11:30 at night, the guy said he had parts. He had a gear. He had a couple of things I needed. We went out to Indiana.
Yeah, I got parts, buddy.
I couldn't tell you where the hell I was in Indiana. And he opens the door. It's 11. He said, well, you got to come after, like, 10 o'clock at night. I said, why? He said, I said, you're not open during the day. He said, son, we're not open at the day at all. So just just do what I tell you. I said, yes, sir, I will come out there. And sure enough, he opens the door, and it was like a showroom of bright, gleaming auto parts. So you know he was stealing them. You know damn well he was stealing them. But
then he stole them back from you.
Yes, then they stole it back from me. They took the car and stole all the parts back from me, and the insurance would not pay for the new parts. That's correct. But so we were out in the middle of a cornfield in Indiana, And I'm looking at this stuff, and the guy's going, "Are you going to make up your mind soon?" I said, "Sure, I'll get right to it. I'm looking for a gear. I need a little bit of this, a little bit of that." And he said, "Oh, I got all that." So it was like $1,500 for the whole thing, which is
a lot of money.
A lot more would have cost me had I actually done that. But a friend of mine hooked me up with him. And I told him later, I said, "You know that guy is not legit, don't you?" I said, "I don't know if the parts are any good." He said, "Oh, don't worry, the parts are good. But no, the guy's not legit. No, he's not legit. He's not selling those parts for that price. He's not legit. He looked legit. He didn't look like a common criminal that was stealing auto parts. But boy, he sure as hell was." I mean, he sure as hell was.
Just that whole culture and that the time that the guy screwed you over with the Barracuda was.
Yeah, he went and got his Hemi-Cuda. It blew my doors off. Stupid bastard. I mean, it's like, no, you know, you sort of take it that when the guy challenges you, you run what you brung. You know, it's right there. He's sitting there with this thing. Okay, I'll get this thing. I don't care what it is. And really, when you analyze it by today's standards, that car wasn't that fast. The Charger I have now is a lot faster than that.
Well,
kill it.
The Chargers you have now.
Oh, it's killer.
There it is.
Oh, it kill it.
Yeah, but that's too much car, the one you have now.
I know, but Terry
pretty much bought a Demon.
No, I didn't buy a Demon. No, I
was it 840 horsepower on that new Demon?
No, yeah, it is. Yeah,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
I saw the ad for it. I'm like, Terry's going to buy this car at some point.
No, I did not buy the Demon, but I don't need it at my age. I frighten myself anyway. But it's the cars today are so much better. You realize I never wore a seatbelt in my life. I never had a seatbelt on. They finally made you at the strip one day. The guy came over and says, "You better put a seatbelt on, don't you think, son?" I said, "Yeah, if I can find it. I mean, I think there's one in here."
Buried
guess,
under
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's just a little, you know, there's no harness or anything like that. So, no, you were absolutely, I mean, taking your life in your hands doing the stupid crap I was doing. There's no question.
What aspect of the book has gotten more response than you expected it would?
Oh, boy. I think the last couple chapters have gotten a lot of response, and you might suspect the Murph stuff too. A lot of people here love the Murph stuff, and I think there's a, you know, people always think we're making this up. I said, no, you can talk to anybody at the Score, and Lawrence Holmes is sitting right there, and he can tell you. I mean, Matt Abaticola can tell you. Jason can tell. I don't think there's any doubt, because people say, was Murph really that bad?
Tool.
I go, well, you think I'm making this up? I couldn't make this up.
It would be too difficult to make
that
up.
Yeah, you could not make that up. You know, you felt the stupidity that surrounded you just by him being near you. So it's like, oh, my God. So there's a lot of reaction to that. A lot of people said, boy, I'm glad I finally read that. I go, okay. But, I mean, it isn't much different than what I've said before, but I went back to the beginning of it, and really I told Russ today, Russ Montero, our production guy, that really you're the one who did it. Because, seriously, I had no affiliation with radio whatsoever. I didn't know anything about radio. You think I'm in there cutting up tape or whatever the hell we had?
I thought Terry was taking out his – at that time we had like a little 8-track cassette to play sound drops.
Cassettes.
Yep.
And I'm cutting them up.
And Murph thought that Terry – on a daily basis, was taking one out and snipping the tape and throwing it away or placing it back in the folder.
No, he also thought that Terry was actually editing
yes.
sound
yes.
of him and of, played yeah. to make him sound bad. It was me. Orchestrated campaign.
Right. Right. It was me, and Russ did it a couple of times. I mean, he made it very easy. It was four or five times a show where you're like, that's a crazy person.
Coach Schweitzer. Yeah, I edited all that because I was so handy with all of it.
Exactly.
I told Russ today that because people
such a facility with audio technology. Yes.
So you're Russ Montero, huh? I go, yeah. He's the one who did it. I didn't know it until I talked to him before the book. I didn't know he did that. I mean, all of a sudden we had this stuff, and it was like I became not Danny, who was a radio guy.
Right.
But Russ said he never missed a minute of it. He couldn't wait to get more of it.
Well, he gave you a lot of material.
Oh, he did. He did, but I proved to be over a long period of time on the right side of that argument.
No, you did. You did. Terry Boers, ladies and gentlemen. You guys want to take a quick time out?
Yeah, we're going to do that because I want to talk more about some of the sports stuff in here and the process of writing it, the experience of writing it, and what that's brought out. So that's we should talk about that,
and
too.
And something that that was mentioned in the book that resonated with me on a very, very real level because it's about celebrity and how you feel about it. You write about it in the book. So make sure you get this book if you haven't got it yet. Ladies and gentlemen, Terry Boers is joining the Bernstein and Golf Show. He will be with us for the rest of this hour. Score of a Lifetime book signing tour starts right now. Make sure you check your local listings for the next time.
My local listings have been checked, yeah.
It's available wherever books are sold, and you want to find it online, triumphbooks.com/Terry Boers. More with TB when we come back on The Score.
Don't discount St. Louis. If they can find somebody with a beard as long as Ryan Franklin's who can actually pitch, they should be pretty good.
This segment brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing. Did you ever get to a point? We're here with Terry Boers.
Yes, we are. Terry, everybody.
We are kicking off the book signing tour for The Score of a Lifetime, available wherever books are sold and online at triumphbooks.com/Terry Boers. How difficult was a lot of the recall? Like actually having to take notes on names and places and fact check and know that whether even back to your wrestling days and all that stuff, and just making sure whether it was about your life or score stuff that you had it all correct.
I had some of my life I had noted. I had noted all the Bulls stuff, and I'd taken notes on it just in case something happened that got good. Because I used to remember, if you recall, last year I used to chide Paul Sullivan to make sure he had notes on the Cubs.
Right.
Because that's what you want. You want when you want it, when if you have a book in your mind and you see where this is going, you say to yourself, I got to be right about this. I can't spend my entire life looking back and thinking about what did he say? What exactly did he say? So you save everything.
Or how you felt.
That's what I did. Or how I felt. So that's what I did. And I distinctly remember the interview with Michael. I still have it on tape. And I still maintain this, and this is true. I was the only one in the city excited about Michael Jordan because this was a Bears town then. So nobody was there but me. They said, Michael will be available if you want. I'm the only one who made an appointment to go see him. Mm. Nobody wanted to go see him. He was taken third in the draft. Nobody cared. It was like, okay, who'd they take again? Oh, Michael Jordan.
And that's
okay,
when they were practicing like Queen of Angels, right?
Angel Guardian, right. Yeah, where they didn't have that upper deck where you could go hide if somebody punched you. They didn't have that. You were all on one level in a locker room because that's where Orlando Woolridge used to stick his head out of the locker room and say, get out of here,
fool.
I know, yeah. I know. I actually loved him. We actually got along great. But, I mean, he would have his moments where – but there's no place to hide at Angel Guardian. Now you can go upstairs. You can sit on a machine, do whatever you want to do, and get away from us. Here you can't get away from us. So I made notes. I made copious notes, and I still have the books, and I still have some tape of the Michael Jordan interview in particular, because I think that I knew the significance of it. I didn't think six championships were the significance, but I knew the significance of it. For the love of God, Dev, have you watched the guy play? Do you have a TV? So I thought right away. And when he said, first thing he said to me is he'd never seen a purple building in his life.
Oh,
I thought that's a keeper. That's a keeper.
That was on Tui and
Purple
Lincoln.
Hotel, right?
Tui and Purple
Lincoln,
Hotel. Yeah. That's where Alan Dorfman was gunned down
that's
in the parking
exactly
lot. Right.
Right.
A lot of things happened at the Purple Hotel.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
You got the bad end of the purple, but I you got the business end of the purple, as they say in the old country. But Michael, you know, it just struck me odd that everybody was so like Bears centric. It was. Michael Jordan is what? What is he? Again, he's a Bull. So nobody cared about the Bulls. DePaul basketball was much better then. Yep. DePaul basketball was a bigger story. So many things were a bigger story than the Bulls. And here they're sitting on this basketball treasure, and nobody knew it. And so I had access to him all the way through that nobody did, because, as I said before, he called me Tay Bowes. So I mean, he would acknowledge me. And my kids were never impressed the least bit of what I did. Not for a second. Until he walked by me one night. I took them to the stadium, the old stadium, to watch a game. And he walked by me and said, hey, Tay Bowes. And they looked at both of the twins, looked at me and said, you know Michael Jordan? I said, yeah, kind of. A little bit. Yeah. I know him. You know, it's like, but nothing was impressive to them except him, which I think by then being pretty clear, even though they weren't winning yet. They're about to, getting close to it. But I just found the whole thing worth saving. So I saved a lot of the newspaper stuff. Saved a lot of newspaper stuff, and I made notes about the radio station as well. Not as many as I should have. I wish I had more.
You mentioned newspapers, though, and I mentioned it during transition, that one of the aspects that I love, just my nostalgia for the newspaper business, for writing. And I think as people read the books, another passion of yours, and maybe it was reluctant, as you say, there were certain teachers, certain professors, and certain editors along the way that were trying to cultivate that and saw it in you and made you do it, maybe if you weren't necessarily motivated to, was words and writing and the actual craft of putting words together and doing it on deadline. This is sort of a paean to that, and I hope it's still there, and I hope it's just manifesting itself in other ways digitally. But I thought that was really cool. So people who might only know you from radio get a real understanding of the significance of the newspaper business in your life.
Yeah, it made everything. There'd be no this if not for that. And I think sometimes we lose sight of where we came from. It's a lot of people do, and I never will. And I'm amazed just the reaction to this and the reaction by a lot of people. I mean, I've been doing this now since 1982 in the Chicago Spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
If 35 years, if you're not sick of my dumb ass, I don't know when you will be. I mean, seriously, it's not like it's, well, where'd this guy come from? Well, I don't know. Bob from Dials, I don't know.
Well, that's what you were going to talk about, Jason, about the nature of celebrity.
Well, the chapters that I reread today specifically, because you know, they resonated with me the most. And I said this to you in the send-off show about how you made me, when I was a kid, think that it was okay to be different, to be odd, not to be the cool kid, because you felt that way. And when I read in The Show Goes On and the celebrity chapters how you not once, but I believe twice, thought of yourself as a chronic underachiever.
Mm-hmm.
And I some people will probably agree with me, but I think of myself as that same way sometimes, where you put so much pressure on yourself, like, this isn't really important. How hard was it for you to come to grips with that you weren't a chronic underachiever? Or does that still bounce around your head after all these years?
It still bounces around in my head. Yeah. I think that, you know, would I change things? I probably would, but I felt like the chronic underachiever was ingrained in me. It became part of me as a kid, where everybody would go, "What's wrong with you?" And see, I didn't have a good answer for that. Right. I really didn't have a good answer, because I shouldn't be out racing cars. I shouldn't be, you know what I mean? There's nothing about it that said this kid is not as stupid as it seems.
Well, the sheriff tried to tell you that over and over again while waiting at your house.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
It wasn't exactly the formula for making a success when you were a younger person.
No, it wasn't. And I think that we hear enough about people these days that you know that there is no, you know, absolute way to success or way to, and there's a lot of ways to failure. And there's also a lot of ways to success. And if you find it late in life, good for you. If you feel like you finally accomplished something, I always felt, well into my 40s, that I'd horribly underachieved. And I still feel that way. And I guess that we all mature at a different pace. I mean, some of us are old at 16. Some of us are 12 at 16. I was more like 11 at 16. So I think there's a...
And you're more like 8 at 70.
Yeah.
That's what it's
going to
be.
Exactly.
You're
right.
I'm
going back. Yeah. I really am Benjamin Button. I don't know that. I think there's a... but yeah, I think, Jay, and you are not an underachiever. You are an achiever. But I think there's a certain time where it hits you that it is okay to be different. I mean, I was different than a lot of people. I didn't know a single person who wanted to go out and race cars. Even though they had fast cars, they didn't want to race them. No, my dad wouldn't want me to do that. I said, okay. I finally found one friend who wanted to race. We did. But I, you know, it's like being sort of different, this round peg in this square hole that didn't fit into any category. You know, I still get crap from Downey about the fact I never went out for anything in high school. He said, you were 6'4", 225. He said, you could do anything. Why did you not go out for anything? I said, I never thought about it.
You played basketball, didn't you?
Not in high school. No, I played, but not in high school. No, I never thought about it. Well, I got talked out of basketball by Richard Thomas when he turned around and dunked on me. I mean, that's just wrong. See, this is what
that's not talked out. That's dunked out.
Yeah, that's oops out. And we were the same size, like 6'3", and a half, 6'4". So he just posted me up and dunked on me, and I thought, well, I don't think this is a great idea for me. But he was a three-time All-Stater, too.
Right. And
so
you're TMO.
I mean, I in the old days, I probably would have elbowed him in the nuts, but I didn't. I shouldn't, and I didn't. I was probably frightened the hell of him.
Which chapters did you have the most fun writing when you look back at it?
Oh, the score stuff. I think the score stuff will last forever. I think that people who love the station now, I just want them to better understand where all this nonsense came from.
Right.
I mean, you gave voice to a lot of people who had never had a voice that you weren't really aware of. And you might have seen their name. You might know who they are. Guys like you who are a super success story. Dan, who was around. I mean, he was Tad Gay for a long time, but it was completely politically incorrect. Remember?
Yes, yes.
You do our updates, and the guy and Danny would look at me like, going, "What's wrong with this guy?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I don't know. You asking me? I'm supposed to psychoanalyze Dan Bernstein? Are you kidding me? How am I going to do that? I can figure out myself."
Let's do a quick update and get back to this. This segment is brought to you by Walgreens. With expert pharmacy care from Walgreens, diabetes won't slow you down. Stop by for the medications you rely on and supplies from all the major brands. Walgreens at the corner of Happy and Healthy. What part, if any, made you laugh out loud or smile in the process of either writing it, editing it, reading it, where you just said, oh, yeah, this is great?
You know, a lot of it was more painful than it would seemingly be. I mean, the OJ stuff to write and kind of rehash was painful. The illness stuff was painful.
Mm-hmm. Not helpful at all?
Kind of, in a way. It was a little cathartic, but not as much as I thought it would be. I struggled with that more than, because I don't generally struggle with words. And when I set out to do something, I mean, I know my own discipline. I know that, dude, there's not going to come a day when you don't feel like doing this. You're not going to sit there and say, I can't think today. Let me just take away until tomorrow. No, no. Any of the writers who are really, really good writers, not like me, but they will tell you, no, you don't take a day off. So you sit there and you do it. And a lot of days it was fun. I like talking about sports in the 80s. Mm-hmm. I love doing that. I love remembering those days and what it was like to be at these places. You know, so many NCAA title games, the Kentucky Derbies, the World Series, the Super Bowls. I mean, it was, you know, I think that most people, when you think about it, as I was writing it, I was thinking about it, most people would kill to do this. To be at these places I was, just in the Olympics in Seoul, and I was not captured by the short, fat guy. although I think he tried. I think he wanted me. I mean, we had ninja on the roofs to make sure.
Did they capture you?
No, I thought they were going to.
We must protect Terry Boers at all costs.
Yeah, the best part of it was that my roommate never showed up. So I had the entire place to myself, the 3 weeks I was there. It was
that
just
was
great.
You and with Bauman and
people I had to carry from a bar, Charlie Pierce.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Oh, doggies.
Doctor.
Dan Barrero.
Yeah.
Oh, well, man.
The crew.
Yeah, that's
a nice little crew there.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's quite a.
It was
quite
damage to some livers. Over
gathering
there.
Of the literary cognoscente. I mean, there that was like the.
Well, Charlie Pierce. You talk Charlie about this guy who's turned himself into a thing.
Skip Myslinski.
Wait, Charlie Pierce and Skip Myslinski? There.
Yeah.
How is there not enough whiskey? Alcohol in the country. Yeah.
Well,
those
there
two.
Wasn't. There wasn't. That was the point. I mean, Skip. I didn't know which one to carry to the door. I mean, do I leave one?
Leave no man behind.
No. Yeah, I can't. I can't. What am I going to do? But that wouldn't be the first time with my buddy Skip.
I've got to get Bubba. Something bit me. Yeah, it was that last Amaretto Stone Sour, you daisy.
Yeah, I think that whole thing. That was fun because those were the days when you know the writers were drunk as hell. Now today, I don't know if they're still drunk as hell. I have no idea anymore.
They're all on Xanax now.
Yeah, probably Xanax.
Yeah, they're all
something.
On pills now. It's a different game.
Just Lexapro.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, got guys twitching while they're putting in game stories, but you know, it's only the Bulls. So
eating great hamburgers at the Wendy's because we went out in the village a couple times. These little villages and ate, and I didn't like it much.
Great.
Went crazy about kimchi.
Gray hamburgers?
Yeah, we had gray hamburgers at the Wendy's there. I don't know what the hell they were. They weren't supposed to be gray. They just were. But
you didn't order them that way.
Hey, two gray hamburgers to go, please.
Double extra gray.
So I really never much left the thing other than go to events. But, I mean, when you look at the whole thing, it's an 18-hour flight. It's a 3.5-hour bus ride after you get off the flight
mm-hmm.
to go to Seoul. They don't let you in. The ninjas are on your roof. Charlie Pierce is drunk.
Actual
at the
ninjas, by the way.
Yeah. Actual ninjas, yeah.
You got to keep repeating that.
They're all dressed in black. I mean, I don't know what the hell they were doing. They were dancing or something. Charlie Pierce is drunk.
Are you sure they weren't Italian widows?
It might have been. I, you know, all I know is that that was fun. I mean, to me, that was fun, remembering some of that stuff. And I didn't remember, you know, I didn't put all of it in there because, I get tired of myself. But it was just a fun time. It was a fun time of my life. And I realize it now more than I did at the time. As bad as the Bulls were, it was fun to be around them.
Yeah.
They were awful for the most part until the 90s. But, I mean, they were, you know, still, I love being around them.
Terry Boers is kicking off his book signing tour right here with us on the Bernstein and Goff Show. Brought to you by Miller Lite, Hold True, and by David Hochberg and the team Hochberg Mortgage Experts at Pearl Mortgage. Visit PERL.com. More with Terry coming your way. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Score. This segment brought to you by Burlington. Make your Burlington store your coat headquarters and save big on great styles for the family, plus sweaters, scarves, hats, gloves, and boots for way less. Burlington, style for everyone. And this portion of Sports Radio 670 is brought to you by Webb Ford. For a great deal on Fords in Chicago, visit Webb Ford in Highland, Indiana. So how much can you make off this if things go off? I'm just saying, could you, like, enough to get yourself another muscle car?
No.
Oh.
No. Hell no. You got okay. Stephen King?
I don't know.
Wake up this morning, I'm Stephen King.
I know nothing about the publishing industry.
Well, you know what I've learned is it's a very difficult business. I mean, it's if your solution in life is writing more books, that's probably not a very good solution.
Or you have to be Stephen King.
Yeah. It's Stephen King, James Patterson.
Unless you catch that kids book wave, right?
Yeah. Well, you tried that, but there's the same guys writing those.
Yeah, James Patterson and Carl Hiaasen are dominating that space now, too.
Yeah, that's why I had a 7- to 12-year-old story in mind, because that's about where I'm still at.
All the F-bombs in that one, too?
No, there's okay. No F-bombs in that one.
Tell your dumbass to class.
No, you're missing a word.
Yeah.
But I the best word of all. But I can't... No, I there's little or no hope in that space.
Hmm.
Yeah, you go, if you look at the bestsellers, today's bestsellers, I love today's bestsellers. And then you look at the 7 to 12 year old bestsellers, the same guys. Exactly the same guys.
That's
one right after the other after the other.
Not fair.
Yeah, I know. Patterson's got seven guys writing for him.
Is there anything that you thought of after the book was ready to print that you're like, I could have got that in there.
Not really. Okay. I mean, there's probably stuff that I do stream of consciousness mm-hmm. that I probably could have thought of. Some stuff I've talked about today, I probably could have put in there. But Jay, I'm telling you, it's a labor to talk about yourself. I mean, it should be a labor of love. And too often it was tough to do that. I mean, to go back and look at it again, it was like, God, please don't torture me. Find somebody who can edit this. Don't torture me. Well, we want you to look at this. I want you to make sure you want it. Okay, I'll take another look at it. But after a while, you just get tired of it.
You get tired of yourself.
Okay, yes. but you said that it's for the grandkids.
Yes.
Was there anything that you've gotten back from them where they thought like, whoa, Pops, we had no idea.
Well, they're learning new words.
Well, other than that, but anything about you, I'm wondering, that they really find fascinating.
You know, I haven't talked to them that deeply about it. I mean, I know a couple of them have read it, and I haven't talked to them. I haven't seen Ty, but I plan on talking to them about it.
They're probably just happy they don't have to wash milk trucks, because that just sounds miserable.
Oh, my God.
But it was informative, and it ended up being a motif for your work.
Yes, it did. It did, because I think if you have ever had to watch one of those things, I don't even know, do they still exist? You still see a milk truck anywhere, ever?
Doesn't
robbery?
I think
a robbery.
I believe that Oberweis drives him around, and he also rounds up Mexicans.
Let the record show, I did not say that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. What's going on?
Whoa.
I don't know. Play
Damn. Right Dan North all of a sudden over here.
Well, remember when Jim Oberweis is flying over Soldier Field and he said, this whole stadium can be filled with Mexicans?
Like, that's some fever dream you were having. No, Oh my God!
But I will. I plan on talking to them about it. I mean, they like the words, they like the verbiage. I think they're learning things as they go along. But I'll talk to them eventually about it. I know they'll want to talk about it. So
and
I did it for them.
Peach was cool with it.
Yeah, she's fine.
Oh
yeah.
Man,
she didn't read it right away. She left it sit there forever before she read it.
Hey, the chapter.
It's a good thing it wasn't a ransom note. I'll get around to it.
Yeah, somebody, 20 grand for my husband. All right.
I know it all.
We
I know it all.
Response.
Okay.
I will say the chapter about your relationship and your love affair with your wife is really, really great stuff. Because for years, she's the backbone of your family. You've mentioned it many a time.
Yep.
And to see it out there in print was
well,
really
she's
inspiring.
The rock of this family. I think the one thing that if there is another printing that I will mention is that her mother died a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, my sworn enemy had told me about, probably 3 or 4 years ago that she wanted me to do the eulogy. So I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
After
I told her, are you sure?
Time.
I said, you're talking to me, right? You know you're talking to me.
And this
she said,
was,
no.
This was Gigi.
Gigi. She said, I changed my mind about you.
Your once-a-week dinner that you would always do up forever.
Yeah, we took her out on Monday nights, every Monday night, yeah. And she passed away it's probably about 3 weeks ago now. And I sent a note to the publisher to see if I could still slip it in, but I couldn't, just so they know, because she's such a part of who I am and what we are. And yes, Jay, I think the most important thing starting your life starts at home. It's not this silliness. It starts at home. And she's the rock of this family. It's not me. Not me.
When you mention home, I couldn't believe how small a house you grew up in. I thought,
oh, yeah.
You had mentioned it before, but until you
my
see...
My house would have fit inside this studio.
Yeah, until
studio.
You see the picture of it.
Yeah.
It's like it's like a little tiny home with three people in it, three relatively three large human beings.
Yeah,
in it.
It was.
I'm sure they would
small.
Have liked to have a bigger one, Dan. I mean,
I'm sure. It's yeah. funny though.
I don't have the mansion there for you, but that's what it was.
You want the one with five bedrooms? Yeah. No. Give us this one. We'll make it work.
But, I mean, he's explained it before, but when you see it's just very striking.
Wow. I mean, the bedroom I slept in was just able to get the bed in. It was a single bed. Mm-hmm. There was no room for anything else. I had no dresser. There really wasn't room for one.
Wow.
Could have a couple toys in there. There might have been a basketball in there, football, but there was nothing else. There was no room for it.
They
built an addition on the back a little bit toward the kitchen so that you could actually have people over if you wanted to. Not that we wanted to, because my mother was not unlike me in that regard. But other than that, no, it was very, and it remains very small. Because the grandkids
there?
Did go over and see it. Yeah. That picture was taken recently.
Oh, wow.
The grandkids went over and saw it. Yeah.
Yeah, I just think for a lot of people who have grown up with you and listening on the radio, the stuff from your youth, your childhood, and, man, some of those drag racing stories. That was my takeaway from that. And, of course, the early Bulls Jordan stuff is just remarkable.
That's all my takeaway.
All here in the book. Many blessings and hard work and deserved love.
I will see you Saturday. We are writing pals. Yeah. We're going to be drunken pals soon.
And if you want to see Terry tomorrow, if you didn't get a chance to win tickets to this, Terry will be at Bookie's Bookshop tomorrow at 6 o'clock. It's 103rd and Southwestern Avenue in the Beverly neighborhood.
You know what? You got to be careful about that. You know why? Because in the morning tomorrow, I have Ramblin' Red Rectum and... Captain John Crackpick.
No.
In studio.
Oh, nice.
Oh, no.
Nice. Yeah. Getting the band back together.
Huh? Oh, Lord.
I can't be far behind.
I'm wearing my steel underpants. Good God, those
Ladies
two.
Ladies and gentlemen, Terry Boers once again. Score of a lifetime. Make sure you order this book. Make sure you go find this book. Make sure you go out to Bookie's Bookstore tomorrow.
Great stocking stuffer also. A fabulous stuffer for your stocking.
Or to put on your head.
It's that time of year where the weather is getting severe. You might need it.
Love you, Ter.
We have a lot
Love
of thank
you
yous
thanks.
Today. Thank T. Diddley. We thank Cody Whitehair, Anthony Heron, and Hub Arkish for joining us today. We want to thank everybody who attended our special broadcast, our sponsors, David Hochberg and Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage, Miller Lite, our Craftsman Mobile Studio, and let's thank our engineer, Marshawn Robinson.
Because you certainly were sounding like a caller Bob right there when you were trying to go on the conspiracy theory.
You can kiss a sick monkey's wet ass if you don't like it. I'll tell you that right now, John. You St. Louis bitch. You silly St. Louis bastard. First of all, I hate everybody from St. Louis. Everybody. From the oldest to the youngest on down from there. I hate them all, including you.
Our video coordinator, director, Brian Gertsch.
Somebody came in, his name's Harry, and he says that, you connect the dots.
The producers today, I guess we got a lot of them to thank, because I see two of them here. Nick Shepkowski.
He's screaming, he's screeching, he's touching himself.
The audio overlord, Chris Tannehill.
Herpes!
And I believe it's the dear boy himself who has helped out for the last hour of this show, Herb Lawrence.
I need crack!
And Brendan McCaffrey as well. He helped out too. Brendan helped out.
Okay.
So shout out to Brendan.
I didn't know if we had a soundbite load for him.
I'm just saying. Thank you to Brendan.
All right, fine. Whatever, man.
All right. Then stop being like that. All right. As soon as Terry leaves, you start to get back to being Dan. All right. Thank you guys for coming out here. We truly appreciate you. We don't get to do many shows like this. This is a special one. So for Dan and the cast of hundreds that help with this show, love you, Terry, once again. Make sure you go out and get this book, The Score of a Lifetime, 25 years talking Chicago sports with Terry Boers. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on the Bernstein and Goff Show. Thank you for listening to 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.